John chapter 14, verses 1 through 8. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your love and your goodness. Lord, we thank you as we prayed for these ones this morning that we know that troubled times come in our lives with sickness, death, that unexpected phone call we sometimes get that just so troubles our hearts. Things that don't really set in our lives until we have endured through them and realized the seriousness of a situation. And I pray you would be with us today. Comfort our hearts with these words that you've given us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to try to keep this rather short, not preaching for so long. I've had a lot built up in me. What I thought I would do was bring this bottle of water up here, and when it's done, I figure it's time to stop. So, but I'll take a big drink. How's that? Imagine with me a time and place in society where a person can come to Jesus Christ, accept him as their Savior, and from that point on, everything is just blessing after blessing. No troubles or trials, no hardships, none of these things in which Jesus himself so clearly warns us will happen when we serve him. You know, whenever Ephesians 6 talks about putting on the whole armor of God, there's a reason for that. And it's not because when we come to know Christ as our Savior that everything is hunky-dory and there's no situations we have to encounter that we don't like, but it's because we then enter the battle spiritually against Satan and the powers of darkness. For we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. So to say and to even believe that a Christian, new Christian, would get the idea that it's going to be nothing but a rose garden when they accept Christ is totally misinforming to them. And it seems like we need to prepare people when they come to know Christ. We don't want to discourage them right off, but we want to help them to understand, as good as God's grace is, it saves them and will keep them, that they do need to have that armor on, because 1 Peter 5:8 says that we're to be sober and vigilant because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. Jesus even tells us himself in John chapter 16, just a few couple of chapters following our text this morning. He says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Isn't that good to know that whatever comes against us, that it's in God's hands? As Brother Keeley has said, and I'll always remember two things Brother Keeley said. There's no big shots or little shots, but we're all buckshot for Jesus. But he also said that whatever comes our way, it has to go on God's desk first. And even if he allows us to go through something that we don't understand, we can all get an amen on that. Or we feel like maybe God's not listening to us because look how obedient we've been and we're praying for release and nothing's happening. But I would remind you that there's been many times, both in the New and Old Testament, where faithful men have encountered troublesome times. I think I said many times when I was filling in a little bit before Pastor Jamie came that it doesn't matter who you are or how obedient you are to God, you're still going to encounter hardships in life. Joseph sold into slavery, did nothing wrong, deceived by his brothers. But what got him in prison was when he came into Potiphar's house and his wife came and accused Joseph of an allegation that wasn't true. Joseph was imprisoned for it. And he found favor in the prison guard's eyes because his faithfulness to God was allowing him to encounter those situations, falsely accused, and still continue to trust in God who had called him there for a purpose in which his family and brothers would find out later on. So whatever we may be going through, there may be a purpose in which we don't understand, but yet God has promised that he will help us. It may be that we have to suffer for his glory. Listen to what Peter says. For to this you have been called, 1 Peter 2:21, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. That as Christ suffered for us, we will be called to suffer for him. And I believe if we're coming into salvation, if we realize this fact and we put it will be put to the test in our lives. But if we truly understand and expect sufferings, they won't take us quite so by surprise when they come upon us. But we know that over the airwaves, we have preachers preaching blessing after blessing. Everything's going to be wonderful. And if it ain't, there's something you got to get right with God. I don't know that Joseph had anything to get right with God, do you? I don't see one thing in Joseph's life that even makes his life out to be something of a pessimistic way of living. We have Elijah who had fled from Jezebel. First he had pronounced to Ahab, 3 years there will be no rain. So God led him to a brook, Cherith. Has God ever done that for you when you've been in a situation and you felt his presence and he's kind of giving you relief through the situation, but he's not taking you out of it? Because you see that even though Elijah was led to the brook Cherith, the brook did dry up. A faithful man. We see David and Saul. Saul in pursuit of David's life. And David had opportunity after opportunity to take his life. But he said, how can I do that to the anointed man of God? We're all going to go through situations. No matter how faithful we are to God. As a matter of fact, the more faithful we are, probably the more beware we need to be of Satan's tactics and his devices against us. There's Daniel who prayed 3 days, opened up his windows in his room, prayed 3 days or 3 times a day. And because of it, was found in a lion's den. A faithful man. There's Paul who's spent most of his time in prison writing to you and us today the encouragement words. He said, I've been pressed on every side, but he said, not cast down. This morning I would like to encourage you from the word of Jesus, just like the people faced troubles then, we're going to face them now. Jesus knew as he looked at the disciples and the things he had told them that they would be going through things and encountering things which they already had that they did not understand, and he realized that they would have a troubled heart. We know as they are sitting here, we have read where they have been to the upper room. Jesus has girded himself with a towel and washed their feet. And they've had communion, the Last Supper. And he has pronounced that one of them would betray him. They must have been troubled. They didn't know at that time who it would be. He even told Peter in John chapter 13, beginning with 36, 3 verses before we get into chapter 14. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. You ever wonder why Peter denied Jesus? It's caused a situation around him, had him troubled. It's true he didn't want to identify with Jesus because they took him to arrest him. What might they do to Peter? Yet Peter didn't realize his fate would be to be crucified also. Except he would be crucified upside down because he didn't count himself worthy to be crucified in the same manner of Jesus, his Savior. But Jesus knew. He had walked with them for 3 years. They had left everything they had to follow him. We talked about sanctification this morning and holiness. And friends, that's what it is. It's giving up everything for Jesus. Not just some of the things we want to give up, but everything for him. And you know, when I first started doing that, I thought I'd given up everything. And I shared this morning in the Sunday school class that whenever I asked for sanctification, and I thought, well, I'm going into the ministry, I'm sanctified, I'm doing what he wants me to do. But I realized in time that I was trying to do too much of it on my own. I was sincere about it, but I wasn't allowing myself to let go and let God just have me in the pulpit and do what he wanted to do through me. I thought I had to have all these notes laid out just right. And I had to have all these helps that the computer gives. I think that's a destruction to the church sometimes. We got so many helps on how to preach and what to say instead of letting God's Holy Spirit just live in our hearts and lead us as he speaks to us through his word. Nevertheless, Jesus saw beyond his troubles that the disciples were troubled because of all of these things. He knew that when he was hanging on Calvary that they would leave there disappointed. The two men on the road to Emmaus, they were downhearted and cast down because after they had seen this man Jesus, who was supposedly going to come and free them from Roman oppression and set up a kingdom, that things would be in a high life from that point on. But it seems like this one who came to give them this promise of that we're going to look at this morning, that he would never leave them or forsake them and would be with them to the utter parts of their lives, that they would be disappointed now because he was no longer with them. Jesus knew they would lose all hope when he was crucified. But Jesus looks beyond his own needs and he tells them something. And it's a command, really, an instruction, not an option. He says, let not your heart be troubled. What did he mean by not letting your heart be troubled? You know, we all face troublesome days. But I believe we need to understand what Jesus is saying is, whatever situation that befalls you, don't allow it to make you feel like you're in a helpless and a hopeless state. Because I am here with you. Remember the things that I have told you. And no matter what you're going through, that will give you the fuel and the energy and the power to keep on going because of the promises that are in store for you. You know, I heard a lady last week talk about, I probably won't get this right, about a woman was buried and she wanted a fork in her hand. And the reason was because when she was a child, after she ate her lunch or dinner, she kept that fork in her hand because she knew there was something better coming. Piece of dessert. I don't know how anything would be better than a piece of fried chicken, Robert, but a piece of dessert. And she said, I want people to know that when I'm laying in my coffin and they see that fork in my hand, that there's something better waiting. Something better waiting for me. And friends, even though God blesses us in this life so richly and dearly, there's so much more waiting for us that we have not yet to comprehend. But we see that there is a remedy for our times of trouble according to our hearts when situations befall us. And it's very simple. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. See, that's the whole key right there, just believing in God. That he can help us through those times. The creator who created us is the creator who can sustain us when we're going through troublesome times. He says, ye believe in God, but believe also in me. A lot of people out there believing in God, but they can't come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, to where their belief is just in vain. You know, I have to make sure they're not here today. Like, none of my kids are here today. My oldest son has no problem believing in God. He just doesn't believe Jesus is the Son of God. We talk, and I think I've shared this with you before, but I know it's been 3.5 years, so you just don't remember a thing I've ever said, so I can say it again. But him and his girlfriend was in the hospital. She was having surgery, and Trey was a smoker many years. I mean, he's only 27, but 11 years. He used to tell me, he said, "Dad, if God called me to quit smoking, I'd do it." I thought, yeah, I'm sure you would. You know, you're just saying that. Anyway, his wife, or I hope it's going to be his wife one day, she got in so much pain, he said, "God, help her with her pain." And from that point on, God delivered him from his tobacco habit. And he doesn't even believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But you see, the thing is, that's not enough for Trey just to believe in a God who can do that. Jesus said, "You got to come to me before you can come to the Father." I know people get offended, Muslims and all of these others, to say that your God will get you nowhere, but friends, it's the truth. If we don't go through Jesus Christ, we're as lost as a white goose in a snowstorm. Now that's pretty lost. You ever tried to find a white goose in a snowstorm? But that's how we do it. We believe in God and we believe in the one who came to die for our sins. I didn't know if I was going to say this or not. Hey, I'm getting closer, about another hour and a half. Hey, I may not get to do this for a long time again, so I'm going to give it all I got today. A few years back, I played a couple of videos, and I know some people may have gotten a little bit offended by it. I won't say who the men were that I put them on. But a man said that he believed that someone cannot even know the name of Jesus, and because they know there's something out there, they shall be saved. I'm not going to tell you who he is. If you don't remember, I'm not going to say, because he's a very popular man. But Jesus tells me, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." We must know the name of Jesus. We must accept him, or else. There's no other way, friends. And so many people, I think, are facing troubled hearts because they may believe in God, but they haven't found his Son who is the way to God. And they're being deceived. A lot of people are putting their trust in their money. I don't got to worry about that. Maybe being good enough. I know a lot of good people out there, but they're lost as they can be. Scripture tells us that if we put our faith in God and his Son Jesus Christ, he will be our comfort when we need it through the power of the Holy Spirit. He will be our present time of help in any troubles that we have. He will be our shelter in the time of whatever storm comes our way. Isaiah 26:3 even tells us this: "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So there's no other way but through Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't say, "I am a way, I am a truth." See, the reason Christianity gets such a bad rap is because we say, if you don't choose Christ, you're going to hell. Is that what Jesus tells us? I think sometimes we fail to be so honest about what the scriptures say, because perhaps I've got a son that don't believe in Jesus. What's that mean? It means if he don't believe in Jesus, he's going to hell. I don't like to say that, but that's what Jesus says. You can't make it no other way. And I think the message is diminishing in our pulpits today. We can't leave without Jesus. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Jesus condemned the Pharisees for not believing in him. He said, "You are clean on the outside, but you're as a whitewashed tomb on the inside." How sad, many good people thinking they're on the right way. But you see, there's only one gate, and his name is Jesus. And there's only one way, and that is the way of holiness. It's a straight and narrow way. And the Bible says there will be few that find it. And I bring all this up to say this, when we're trusting in Jesus and we're walking the way, there's no trouble that can beset us that would cause us to lose a sense of hopelessness or helplessness. We can be troubled in the sense of sad and sorrowful. God is not going to, He gives us tears to cry. He gives us emotional feelings to feel hurt. But He says, when you look upon Me and the Father, don't allow your troubles to bring you to a hopeless and a helpless situation within your mind. You see, Elijah even, whenever Jezebel come after him after Mount Carmel, and God did an amazing thing up there, bringing the fire upon the sacrifice when Elijah called him. Jezebel didn't like that, and the Bible says that the next day, Elijah is fleeing from her, and he prays that he might die. Now that is a sense of helplessness and hopelessness. The same God who was with him on Mount Carmel was the same God who was going to see him through the wilderness. And sometimes little do we know the power of God until we get through it. And we can look back and see how He's helped us. And how many times have I had to say, oh me, look how my faith dwindled. God's proven Himself time and time again, but yet another situation's come and my heart's troubled. But folks, let's not allow that troubled heart to turn into a helpless and hopeless situation, because with God, all things are possible. We can do all things through Him. We can go through any trials with Him. Jesus was so urgent to want those around Him in the days of His ministry to accept Him, but so many would not. He even says in Matthew 23:27, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, your people have killed the prophets and have stoned the messengers who were sent to you. I have often wanted to gather your people as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, but you would not let me. A lot of people are going through a lot of troubles that they don't need to be going through the way they are, because they have not kept their eyes on God and His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way we can have a soothing heart during our troubled times. Why? Because Jesus not only gives us an instruction to trust in Him, He went through more than we'll ever go through. And yet He was the prime example, as He sweat as if it were great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is the only way. And you see, if He's not the only way, then we cannot even take the first verse of Genesis to be true. If Jesus isn't the only way, maybe God's not the only one who was involved in creating the earth. If Jesus isn't the only way, maybe this instructions that we have to live a holy life and all of these things which lead to the straight and narrow way as we walk is not relevant to our lives. But the thing is, Jesus is the only way to the Father. We don't always understand when we go through the trials of life that we go through, why the Lord's allowing us to go through them. But you know, would our faith grow if we did not have obstacles we had to overcome? If we weren't allowed to go through a situation where we had to fully depend on God, could He prove Himself to us like He often does? Instead of just handing us everything we wanted, not trying our faith or testing our faith. But the Bible says our faith will be tried as fire. Fiery trials that are to come. And looking to Jesus is the way to get through those trials. And then there's times I've been so downhearted or so downcast that I thought, well, I'm made to go through this, now what? I have no choice. Jesus is going to get me through it, but I've got to go through it. I believe that's why He tells us in verse 2, not to have a troubled heart, because we can look to God the Father and God the Son, but because of this also. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's the key to contentment during our troubled times when there's no release. Because, friends, it can only get better. Maybe we need to grab that fork when we're going through those times, reminding ourselves that when we leave this world, it's going to be a lot better than it was in this life, even with the blessings that God blessed us with from time to time. He says, there are many mansions. And Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. Why would he go and prepare a place for us and not give us the equipment and the power through the armor of God to continue to walk the straight and narrow way, which leads us to the place that he gave his life for, that we could go? When Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, I believe myself he was talking about going to Calvary. I don't believe myself that Jesus had to go to heaven and prepare some things for us. It was all laid out from the beginning. But what did it take for us to receive salvation? It took the cross. How did it take the cross? It took Jesus going there to shed his blood. So when Jesus went to prepare a place for us, he went to Calvary, that when his blood was shed, there was a way that everyone who believes in him can have eternal life. Calvary is the place he prepared for you and I, that at the foot of the cross, if we humbly stand and accept him as our Savior, the preparation has been made and our ticket is in hand and we're ready to go, as long as we stay faithful to him. But as I said, sometimes we're caught in the heat of the day and trials come upon us, and we can tend to only think of the here and now and the things that are oppressing us now. But you know, the Bible tells us that all that we go through in this life cannot compare to the glory that will be revealed in us. Now, I know a lot of you here have went through a lot of trials. But did you hear what I said? All of those trials will not compare to what awaits us in heaven. If we just stay true to the Lord, if we just keep our eyes upon him. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I wouldn't mislead you. You're going to go through troublesome times. I told you you would. I told you not for your heart to be troubled, but I didn't say you wouldn't go through troublesome times. And that I prepared a place going to. And that he will come and receive us, that where he is, we may be also. So when our times of disappointment come, when tragedy strikes, you know, there's been three people this week I've known have died. Ralph being one, and Steve Hartline, the mayor of Anna, his little brother died this week. He was on a ventilator, breathing ventilator. He's younger than I am, took it off and died just as soon as he took it off. And another lady from our church. But what I'm saying is, situations are going to come that cause us to have a troubled heart. But Jesus said, I want to tell you, I came and I walked this road for you, that even amidst all your troubles, there's still a greater hope than you'll ever receive in this life. But you're just going to have to wait till you get to the other side to receive it. Jesus has promised he would heal everybody. He would take away all pain. It just may mean crossing over to the other side, and it will for some people, to be able to experience that. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I do, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, some in Thessalonica had been saved, and they were concerned about their loved ones who had gone before. They really didn't understand what was going to happen to them. They were troubled about it. So Paul sets them straight, and he says, for the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So that takes care of their troubled heart. The dead in Christ shall rise first. But he goes on and gives them more hope. And then he says, then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he says, comfort one another with these words. Pretty much to the same dialect as he's telling them here not to be troubled. Because there's a great day coming in which all of our pain and our sorrows and our tears will be swept away, wiped away. I think of eternity. You know, the days seem so long, and I'm about done. The days seem so long in this world sometime, yet when we look back, it seems like they've traveled quicker than a freight train. But we try to think of eternity. a never-ending time. And I think there's times that we are so downhearted and downcast because of our situations that we just only hope that we have to pick us up is the fact that there is that day coming. And I think I've shared this with you before, but when I think about eternity, I try to describe it, and I heard a woman express her views on eternity. Her name was Lillian McCutcheon. She was a woman Church of God evangelist. And she said, if a little bird went to the Atlantic Ocean and picked up one drop of water in its beak, and that bird swam all, or that bird flew all the way to the Grand Canyon and dropped that one drop of water into the canyon, and repetitively did that until he emptied all of the Atlantic Ocean into the Grand Canyon, and he did that 1,000 times, eternity has just begun. Can you understand that? I can't. I know the Bible says that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And sometimes we're going to have to grasp that scripture whenever we feel like all hell has come against us and that there's no relief. That it will be worth it all when we do see Jesus. It will be worth it all. You know, some people, it's kind of like Philip, because listen to what Philip says. Jesus has said, I go to prepare a place for you. All you got to do when you're troubled is look to me and the Father. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and because I do, I'm coming again, and you're going to be with me. But listen to what Philip says. Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And in other words, Philip's saying, you know what? I know you've told me all that good stuff, but I need something more to keep me going. You know, I believe there's people in the world that feel like they need a blessing after blessing to keep going for God. I pastored a church in Cobden, and there was a couple that came, and as long as everything was going good, they was faithful as they could be. But when they were out for a month or two, you could be sure that they was facing some kind of trouble. And I believe that's when we need to be in church more, when we're facing troubles, than when things are going good. But some people are like Philip. They know that all of these things are in store for us. They know that God promises that he'll never leave us or forsake us, and that he's able to do above and beyond that we could ever ask or think. But it's not enough for them. They need something else. They need an extra blessing from time to time to keep their faith in God. But friends, it ought to be enough to know that one of these days when we lay our heads to the pillow and we awake no more, that those troubles that we went through are just a fleeting, minute thing compared to the reward that God will reward us with for our faithfulness through those difficult times. Some people are like the seed that was planted. I think Lottie mentioned that this morning. The sower went to plant seed, and some of it fell on stony ground. That's a picture of someone who hears the good news and they're all excited and they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. But the problem is, the Bible says the sun came out in the heat of the day, and because that plant did not have a deep enough root in the earth, it was scorched away. And that's saying a lot of people believe that when they come to Christ, everything's just going to be wonderful. They're not preparing themselves for the trials of life. They're not realizing that Satan is an adversary of God trying to destroy God's people. And they're taken suddenly by surprise when situations come that they don't understand. When situations come and they're made to go through the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and was not delivered out of it. They were delivered, though, weren't they? But a lot of times we don't even want to face the fire. We don't want to face the troubles of life, even what God has went through for us. And the thing about that is when we go through those times, as I said, it just makes us stronger for the next situation that comes. So my encouragement to us this morning is that Jesus spoke these words not in vain, but to encourage us that mankind will always face troublesome times which they don't have an answer for. Sometimes in which we may feel like God is not even listening to us, but we know He is. But He's using that situation to strengthen us, to grow our faith, to prove Himself to us that He is who He says He is, Because if we never needed him for nothing and we were just an instrument that was programmed like a robot to love him, how would God receive any glory from that? It's those that are put through the fire, that are put through the test, who continue to keep their eye on God through the whole walk of their life, in which brings glory to God, and which is allow, and which allows us that heavenly home in which he has promised. So this morning, I just want to encourage us. I'm sure there's more trouble on our way for us. We may have just come out of some, but you know as well as I do, there's trouble waiting. But we know we have a Redeemer who took care of all of that on Calvary. And we know that if we just look to him and we remember that all he went through for us, that he is worthy of our trust in him, because he has given us the greatest hope that we could ever experience, and that's eternal life. Until that day, we will suffer many times. Job even said, a ban from woman is few of days, but of many troubles. Job knew all about the troubles. What did the Bible say when Job lost everything he had? He got mad and walked away from God? No. He lost all faith? No. It said he sinned not, and he did not charge God foolishly. See, even before Jesus spoke these words, God must have been able to relay himself to them in a way in which they knew these promises were true before Jesus even came into the world. So let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus. Trust in him and realize that one of these days, as Ralph is going to be now, in heaven for all eternity. And it will be worth it all when we do see Jesus.